Hey guys, welcome to the next episode of Smithy U.S. History Audio Boom Podcast. On the last episode, we concluded by completing George Washington's foreign and domestic policy. And then at the end of it, talking both about what he did out of the country and what he did within the country, we talked about George Washington's farewell address, how he left office, and set it up so that we can talk to you a little bit about the early presidents, this first early group in the New Republic, and to talk to you about the situation of what it was like to live within this country at that time. So the purpose of this podcast today is to describe the portrait, or what it would look like to live within the United States in and around the year 1800, as George Washington left it at that time. So that said, let's begin by talking about farmers. You guys know, because you have me in class, that I talk to you about this and I say, back then, America was, we are farmers. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba. Or I make a little joke about farmersonly.com, right? Because that is, in essence, what America is like. We are living as a nation of farmers. And the key word that ties in with that is agriculture. And the word that comes up quite a bit in describing it is agrarian. It's rural. It's farming. It's a nation of farmers. Great question. What are the farmers growing? As we talked about, there's a lot of growth of grain, of wheat. We talked to you guys about how these farmers were turning some of that wheat into alcohol like whiskey, and how the government was now trying to tax it, much to the anger of farmers. Also important, though, the South is beginning to grow cash crops, tobacco, and increasingly they're beginning to be more and more tied to cotton. But that's really kind of starting to kick in. So this is an agriculture nation. It's a nation of farmers in a way that we aren't today. And so that was what it was like then. Things will begin to slowly change. And where it starts to slowly change is there's going to be some advances in technology, and those technologies will begin to change the way people live. So people are going to come up with things like Eli Whitney comes up with interchangeable parts. Between interchangeable parts, the fact that you can make an item that is the same as the next item, and you can fit it in a machine, and when something breaks down, we can just fit the new item in the machine and keep going. These machines, these new things, will begin to create industry. They will begin to pull people away from the farms, pull them to cities, and your job will no longer be to work on the farm in the country. It will now be to come to a city, live in a city, work in a factory, and this change slowly starts to happen here, and it's begin to pick up steam, especially in the northern part of the United States. But before this fully takes over, the whole industrial move-to-the-city model and you buying things that are made by factories, before that takes over, people are going to live in a way that's self-sufficient. And by that, we mean they make their own stuff. They make their own food, they're growing it, and they're going to make their own clothing. So they're not going to the store to buy clothing. They don't run out to the mall. They don't have those things. And this is where what we call homespun clothing, where people are essentially just making their own clothes at home, this becomes a serious thing. And a lot of time is going to be devoted to making clothes, making your own clothes at home. And so this was something like doing the dishes or the laundry or something. It was just part of life, and you had to accept that. But you weren't going to be able to buy clothes from the store, and they didn't have sizes yet. And so you just kind of had to make your own stuff. And so this is part of this self-sufficient time, is this time of homespun clothing. But increasingly, where we're moving is towards this factory model. And that factory model is going to gradually bring more and more people to the cities. And it is that shift towards the cities and the factories that we are going to call the Industrial Revolution. The Industrial Revolution. So that will be critical in your understanding, because the Industrial Revolution will flip the way we live. It will flip us from a farming society to where we are today, to where we are a society where virtually most Americans are living in the cities and have almost no connection with growing their own food. Very few, if any, would actually make their own clothing. So this is where we live now, and we can't imagine, a lot of us, what it's like to make our own food, to live out in the country. Most of us are city people in some way, shape, or form. That said, moving on, transportation. When we talk transportation at this time, it's an incredibly boring subject in a way. To get from Boston to New York took 3 days. You're going by wagon coach. It's very, very slow. And that's with roads. Now, these are very basic roads. But if you wanted to go west, out into the country, into the Appalachians, across the Appalachians, you have even fewer roads. And so road travel is very slow, And it costs time, it costs money. The fastest way to travel is not going to be roads at this point in history. It's going to be by boat. And so boat's the best way to transport goods, and it's the best way to get places when you can. So what we'll see is we'll see very little travel at this point, and things move very slowly transportation-wise. Second, as part of the transportation thing, just like how transportation moves slowly, communication is also a terribly slow process. In order to communicate, there's no phones, and there is yet no telegraph. So people will write, and people write all the time. If you had to get a message to someone, you had to write it, and you had to hand it to someone who would be on a horse, and then take that message physically to them. So that will have all sorts of consequences that we'll get to later on. There will be actual wars that are fought where the reason for fighting was already gone, but they hadn't gotten news yet, and they will go ahead and declare war. We'll get to some things like this. The War of 1812 that we're coming to, it has several instances that are like this. But just know communication's terribly slow. People are writing mail. And again, that's part of why they have such beautiful handwriting in the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, because all they did was write. Further, as society is slowly changing in America, what we're beginning to see towards the end of Washington's presidency is the shift in the regions. The regions are changing. Where we were with regions is we had three regions that we talked about in American history. And those regions were the New England, Middle Atlantic, and Southern colonies. New England, Middle Atlantic, and Southern colonies. Increasingly, it's going to shift, and it's going to become the North and the South. And then beyond the North and the South is this other area called the West. And so those regions are going to begin to develop in different ways. And that development is going to begin to accelerate. And pretty soon we're going to see the North and the South being very different from one another, and the West being another different place in the United States. So be ready, because that shift is coming, and it's going to play a role in America's coming Civil War and in some of the issues, the politics of the time. But very slowly, it's starting to happen. The North, the South, and the West will be the new regions. So that's pretty much it for the portrait of the nation in 1800. I just want to give you that as a quick preview. Where we're moving, presidency of Thomas Jefferson, the third president, we're largely going to skip John Adams for right now. So we'll talk maybe a little bit about John Adams in the next episode, but we will move on to Thomas Jefferson, the third president, quickly, and then beyond Thomas Jefferson, we will then at some point move to James Madison the fourth. But this is the new republic, and this is the new era that we're in, and so there will be a few more podcasts as we close out this chapter in the workbook that we're using. Thank you.